Welcome back, everyone. We're so pumped about today's topic. We're going to be dealing with something a little bit more specific related to listening. And so, again, we have the Reverend Bill Oldendyke with us. We are fired up, again, to have him be able to impart to us some wisdom, some things that he does that helps him to be effective in what God's called him to do. And so, Bill, we're going to ask you to just say hello to the folks, and then we're going to dive right in. Would you do that?
Well, hello once again. Happy to be back here with Pastor Tony. These are exciting times here together.
They are. So today we're going to be talking about active listening. It's very interesting that we use that word active, right? So we talk about listening, and now we're talking about active listening. What does it mean to be an active listener? Now, the last time we talked, Bill, you talked about our role as pastoral care providers, as people who minister to people. I think this falls perfectly underneath our role, don't you think?
Yes.
It's what we're supposed to be doing. So what does that look like to you?
Well, what do you want? You want a healthy balance between the person seeking help and them telling their story, and you guiding them with questions that will open them up and help them to see more clearly what things have been going on in their life and their responses, their reactions, and how much impact these certain perhaps experiences have had upon their life. They are there because they want to tell you their story. Your challenge is to get that story out of them as deeply and as concisely, as clearly as possible.
Okay.
To do that, you have to avoid questions that only include answers with the word yes and no.
Good.
What you want to use is what we call open-end questions, where they have to answer you with questions and paragraphs. That's how you get into their story.
Good.
And that's how you unite with them, and that's where the trust and the bond takes place, as they see that you're supportive of them, not judging them,
yes,
valuing them. They feel important.
That's good. Now I see, so apparently you've got some guidelines that help us to do just that, right? Because we know that really the purpose for listening, why is it that it's important for us to listen to somebody, is so that we can get to the place of understanding. And now when we're at that place of understanding, now we could actually be able to help somebody. So what are some of the guidelines that you use, active listening skills, if you will, that you use that really help guide you in this process?
Well, first of all, I mentioned in the last session about a safe zone. I make sure that the room that we're in is secure, that we're not going to be interrupted, and that it's quiet, things of that nature. But there are other things that I do. For example, my body language. It's good to, when you're listening to somebody, to lean forward. That expresses so much of desire, desire to get to know that person, desire to be of a help to that person. You don't want to lean back, you know, with your arm up on the armrest, your feet crossed, you just want to lean into toward the person. That says
it's good.
That says so much. And of course, while they're speaking, you want to, as well as you can, and it's a challenge many times in the beginning, to make eye contact with the person who's speaking. Sometimes you have to gain that. Sometimes it takes minutes, you know, maybe even another session before that person can really share the painful things of his or her life with you while looking you in the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But when they do, when they see there's acceptance there and there's love there and there's a willingness on your part to make them win and to help them to heal, they will maintain eye contact with you from that point on.
Good.
In most cases.
Good.
So that's very important. And you want to listen when they're describing certain parts and aspects of their lives. You want to listen to their voice, the tone of their voice. If the volume goes up, or if they become very quiet and perhaps even showing signs of insecurity and pain,
mm-hmm.
you want to mark those moments. Those are important moments, because you see the emotions are being touched if they get louder, or if they're getting quieter and more subdued, that might be that they feel more protective of what they're about to say. You're keying off of them at this time rather than the other way around.
Good, good. I see you have a couple other things too that you do. I noticed that as you're talking with somebody, there's a guideline I see here called repeat. That's a technique I think you use pretty effectively. What do you mean when you say repeat? How does that work?
Repetition. I'll have somebody, if they say something to me and I sense they're very much attached to what they're telling me, I'll have them repeat it in a different way, in a different form, mm-hmm. Than they originally, or I'll have them maybe expound upon what they're saying, and I'll get a better and a clearer understanding. There's nothing wrong with asking someone to, could you please say that again? And I'm not getting the full meaning and the full purpose of what you're saying right now. And that, once again, is telling them, wow, this guy is tracking with me very closely, good. And it's very important what I have to say. He wants to get it right. He doesn't want to misinterpret anything here.
That's excellent. I appreciate that. I think, as we listen to people and then encourage them to repeat what we thought they said, right? What we're doing is we're demonstrating value. Now, I noticed that, one of the things that we try to do overall when we're actively listening to somebody, I see you have an acronym here. It's LUV. We want to love them, right? LUV. And I see that really what we're after in the whole session or the whole time that we're with somebody, we want to make sure we listen to them for the purpose of understanding them, really for the principle of demonstrating that we validate them. So we want to listen, right? We want to understand, and then we want to validate. Did you want to expound a little bit on that of kind of what you're really after there?
Mm-hmm. We have to remember who's coming to us. It's a person seeking help. And they're very much aware of situations in their life where they've tried to share with people and talk with people about their situation, and they've been interrupted, mm-hmm. they've been disregarded, they've been devalued, they've been disagreed with, they've been judged, they've been condemned. And just the fact that you're looking at them, showing that they're valued, and listening to them, mm-hmm. pondering what they have to say. Perhaps I said this once before, but the Bible says that he who answers before pondering is a fool.
That's right.
And only foolish things come when we react to what mm-hmm. people are saying. We're just speaking out of our emotions. We're not pondering with our mind and then speaking from our hearts. It's really, that's a big in transition, and it's a big help in bonding.
That's
with
excellent.
Those that we're speaking with.
That's
and
excellent.
It's the time where we show understanding. You don't have to feel like you have to fill every quiet moment.
Mm.
Silence is very, very powerful
yes.
in counseling, where you just look at the person, and that person knows you are so locked into them and what they had to say that what you're about to say is going to be very meaningful.
Yes.
It's very important to you, and that's what you want to convey. Do not feel pressured to have to avoid silence.
Mm-hmm.
Or many times you'll say something that's very profound, and you'll want that person to ponder.
That's
the other, the person that you're helping, you want that person to ponder what you've just said, and that's a good thing to do.
That's excellent. I think so many of us are awkward. We feel awkward when it's silent. I think that's a great tool to be able to help people.
Yeah.
Now, one other thing, I just have one other question for you related to listening. I think sometimes when we have this idea when we're listening to somebody that somehow we're sending a signal to them that we're agreeing with what they're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this question. Is listening agreeing, or what's the difference?
No, not necessarily. Listening is totally neutral. I can listen and then show agreement, or I can listen and I disagree. I want to insert another important thought here, and that is be very attentive to themes that appear to be at first non-essential. Many times those that come and help you will share vital pieces of information with you by inserting them very quickly in between a couple different themes. And without much expression, they'll just insert them quickly and then move on. Many times these themes that appear to be non-essential are the very most essential themes for that counseling environment that you're in that scenario. So you have to listen for those as well. It's just a way that somebody will share something that's very important in their life. It's been very impactful to them, and it's still very painful. It's still an open wound. They want to share it with you with the hope that they'll be helped, but it's too painful for them to linger on that. Another important thing that goes with this is many times when people are in pain and they're sharing a story of pain, they will smile. Don't let that misguide you. That just camouflage. That's hiding out. That's masking, what we call masking. You most definitely want to pursue that.
That's excellent. But that is great advice. So gang, listen, we're so excited to be able to bring this broadcast to you, or this podcast to you rather. And again, we're talking today, we're wrapping things up. We talked about active listening, some of the things we want to make sure we focus in on. Body language is important, so we want to make sure we're leaning in as we're listening, repeating, having them repeat what they said, using silence as a technique. I think that's great. And then obviously the point of it is that we're listening to these guys because we want to get to the place where we can now begin to understand them. Because once we reach that place of understanding, now we can become effective in helping them. So, Bill, thank you for being with us again on the podcast, and hopefully this helped you guys become more effective at what God's called you to do. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next time.